First night, you've missed three good ones. And Lord has been here last night. To those that haven't been around it before, someone mentioned it. They called it a popcorn service. Al asked me to lead last night, and I was kind of, my eyes, I couldn't see very good. I was a little weary, and I thought, boy, last night had been a good night to have been up here because the Lord was leading. And we can do that again tonight if you'll mind the Lord. So the choir... Chris, get a song, let him get up.
Get your hymnal, turn to page 55.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the road is called up. road up yonder, I'll be there. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the row is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the row is called up yonder, when the row is called up yonder, when the row is called up yonder, when the row is called
to the Lord in prayer, and we just want to thank Him for what He's done. And I'd like for Brother Donnie, if he would, to lead us in a word of prayer. I'd like for evangelists to come at this time, Brother Dennis Estes. If you haven't had the privilege of hearing him, you'll have the privilege tonight. God has blessed him in a special way. He drives 2 hours to get here each night from Buckhannon. And I thank the Lord that he's with us, and Brother Junior come with him every night. I'm thankful that we've got to be together this week. So, come on.
That's part of
Paul and Silas is better than Mutt and Jeff, amen. Amen. What a privilege be in the service tonight and hear the good singing. And I appreciate the group that sang, the choir. Always a joy to hear them sing, and I appreciate that so very, very much. I have a special prayer request for you tonight, if you don't mind me giving it, but we have a little boy in our church. He's 4 years old. And when he was born, his bowel was twisted and part of it atrophied, and they had to remove that and put it back together. Long story short, he's been on a TPN line for that time, and they had to go back today and put in a new line. So if you would, remember little Lincoln as you pray. He's a wonderful, sweet little child, and he's got a couple of very worried parents tonight. So if you would, remember him. But isn't it good to be saved? And I, as we're singing that song, I know He cares, brother. I'm glad Jesus cares. I'm glad He knows and understands beyond our own understanding. In your Bibles tonight, if you would, turn with me, please, to the 10th chapter of Mark. Mark chapter 10, if you would. And as you find it, would you stand with me, please? And we'll try to preach a little while tonight. Mark chapter 10, verse number 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest: go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Our Father, tonight, as I come again to the throne of grace, I bow in your holy presence, Lord, and I thank you for the privilege of once again being here in this great church. Father, every night just seems to get sweeter, and I appreciate so very much the singers tonight. I appreciate those who testified and the prayer we had for the family in much sorrow tonight. Father, we come before you now asking you, God, that you'll help the congregation here tonight. Such events, Lord, always remind us of how frail our life is, how short our time is upon this life. And Lord Jesus, tonight we know that there's only one answer for these kinds of things in our life. It matters not what politicians may do or what laws may be passed. But Father, we know tonight there's only one answer, and that, Lord, is a cure for the heart of man. And Lord, only that can be accomplished through you. And thus, my Father, I pray tonight that if there's somebody in our midst who tonight themselves would need a healed heart, I pray that, God, thou wouldst touch their heart this evening. I pray, Father, for conviction, and I pray that tonight, that as I preach, God, you'd help me to preach with your anointing and your power, Lord. And I don't claim to be much, Lord, you know that, but I love you, and I just want to lift up your name here this evening. With all my heart, I'm praying that if there's anybody here tonight not saved, that, Lord, they'll not leave this service without knowing you, but make them way down to this altar tonight and meet the greatest friend they've ever had. So tonight, my Father, bless Pastor Mendez and his wife, and bless his good people and everybody that's here this evening. So good to see Brother Harold Withrow that we've known so many years, and I pray you to touch him tonight. I pray for Brother Junior who comes with us, and Lord, he's just a faithful and good friend. And I ask you now, God, to bless him. Everyone here in attendance tonight, bless the little baby boy that's being operated on this evening, and touch his little body, God, and Lord, bring healing to him and bring comfort to his parents tonight, we pray. So Lord, have your way, please, this evening in all that is said and done and accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's some passages in the Bible, I'm sure pastors this way and you other preachers, but there's some passages in the Bible that I find myself going back to quite often to preach on. I don't know if it's because I need to do them better and get more practice on it or what, but you know, beloved, there's some people in the Bible that really impress me. And this passage has always impressed me. I think this is one of the saddest passages in the Bible. And tonight, as I look at this, beloved, you know, if you are here tonight and you're not saved, what have you got to gain by turning away from Christ? What have you got to gain here tonight if you're not saved and you just turn a deaf ear to the gospel and a deaf ear to this good singing tonight? If you can ignore the spirit of the family prayer that we had a while ago and you can walk out that door tonight, then you really do have a calloused heart. And my friend, I tell you tonight, the purpose of our being here is not that we can come together and have a good time, and certainly we've been having that. But you know, we've been praying hard for this revival and praying that each night we might see somebody saved. And everybody in here tonight that is saved, you can think back to a time or a day, a night, when it was your time to be saved. And it might just be that there's somebody here tonight. Maybe this is your night, and I pray that it is. And so tonight, beloved, the Bible gives us numerous examples of people who have turned away from God and Christ. They're listed in many, many passages in the Word of God. But here, beloved, as I look at that, I see this fella, and I see a man who is comfortable in his life. Now, you may think it's a wonderful thing to be comfortable. I don't think a Christian should ever be comfortable. I think back to what an old preacher back home used to say about this. It's an old adage, of course. But he'd say the purpose of the gospel was to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And I believe tonight, beloved, that we should never get comfortable in our Christian life. But we can become so comfortable in our walk without God that we become complacent to our need of God and we think that everything is exactly the way that it ought to be. Now, I believe this passage is more about a man who was more concerned with his being identified by Christ than he was in receiving Christ. Here was a man that, as I picture him, I believe that he was comfortable with what he was and happy with what he was. And I believe that here was a man more interested in the fact that he could keep the law and had money and all that than he was in following Jesus. Here I see a man that when Jesus told him, "You sell all that you have, you give it away, you sell it to the poor, and you can follow me." And the young man turned away from Jesus. And the Bible says right here that he went away grieved. Let me say this to you tonight. There are a lot of people in America right now, maybe even in this church, who would follow Jesus if they could do it their way. There's a lot of people tonight who would like to go to heaven if they can go their way. There's a lot of people tonight who would like to have the name of Christian and be a good church member if only they can do it their way. But you know, the Bible doesn't allow us to do that. Jesus said that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're not going to go to heaven just because you went to church. You're not going to go to heaven just because you were baptized. You're not going to go to heaven just because you pay tithes. You're only going to go to heaven if you have been born again. And many a person, and I've seen this throughout my preaching career, I have seen a lot of people go to church and the Spirit of God convict their heart and stand back there during invitation time, pastor, and grip that old bench till their knuckles turned white and would not come to Jesus and go out of the building being grieved. Now tonight I want to give you several things tonight. If you go home tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, there's some things I want you to see. But first of all, there's three things I want you to see that was standing in the way of this man being saved. What was it? First of all, there was the reliance upon himself. He said, "What good thing shall I do?" Yeah, brother, that's the attitude of human beings. Do you know that? If I can do it, if I can build it, if I can attain it, then I can be all right. Amen. But you know what, beloved? The Bible said you're not good enough. Amen. The Bible said there's none good. No, not one. The Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know a lot of people tonight would think, "Well, I know so and so, and they're good people." Let me tell you, I know a lot of good people, but I know a lot of good people who are on their way to hell tonight because they've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, well, you can let yourself get in the way of getting saved. Amen. People can convince you that you're good and you're decent and you're upright, and brother, that'll get in your way, and you'll think to yourself, "What else than a person is supposed to be other than good and decent and upright?" Brother, there's nothing wrong with being those qualities. There's nothing wrong with having them in your life. But folks, listen to me. You cannot go to heaven based upon yourself's performance. Brother, there's an old song that says that when I thank him for what he has done, I'll look back to the crucified one. I have no right tonight to boast of anything I've ever done. But thank God, I'm glad tonight that God sending his only son for me and for you, died on the cross, saved our soul tonight. But brother, I can't work enough to save myself. Amen. You come go to church with me tonight. Amen. I'll tell you, you can't work long enough to save yourself. Brother, self can get in the way. Another thing that was in his way was his religion. Amen. I think we probably live in the most religious time that there's ever been on the face of the earth. You never heard of more religions in your life than there are in America right now. I understand it all out in California, and I'm glad it's out there, amen, that out in California there's a new religion starting up almost every day, and the culture rising up, and the following this. And brother, some of them get tax exempt status and they don't know God from a hole in the ground. Amen. And I'll tell you something tonight, folks. Religion can get in your way. There's a lot of people who carry Bibles to church every Sunday, brother, who are religious, but they're lost. Amen. There is a lot of people who went down to the water hole and got baptized. Some of them several times. Some of them enough. They know every tadpole by his first name. But folks, they've never got saved. Amen. I'll tell you something. Religion can be a mighty good thing, but it's a bad thing if it stands in your way of getting true salvation. The third thing that stood in this young boy's way, beloved, was his riches. Amen. You know, not long ago, I told you last night I turned on the news, and I just turned it on to get aggravated for the day. Amen. And I turned it on, and they were talking about somebody winning the lottery. I don't know, $380 million or something like that. And they seemed to be rather upset because Uncle Sam was taking his share of it and the guy still had $280 million. And I thought, brother, let Uncle Sam take it. I think I could make it on $280 million. Amen. But folks, that's not the point. People today, God doesn't condemn anybody for having things. Amen. God's not condemning you if he's blessed you to have riches. Amen. But what God says is this. Your riches can blind you to your need. Your riches can blind you to the fact that you're lost and undone. Many a man today thinks his money is going to buy him into heaven. Many a man tonight thinks that his money is the key, my friend, to everlasting happiness. Brother, some of the most miserable people I've ever met in my life were millionaires. Amen. I was sitting across the table from a man one time going to grade some cattle for him. And sitting across the table from him one day. And this fella looked at me and he said, I'm worth $7 million. And he said, I'm the most unhappy man you've ever seen in your life. And he looked it. And I want to tell you tonight, beloved, things can get in your way of your salvation. Now, my friend, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, if you go out that door being grieved, number one tonight, you're going to go over top of God's will for your life. Brother, God has not willed that any would perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has willed it, beloved, that his creation could have a means by which we are saved. Man, God did not make man to inhabit this earth just for the sake of a story to tell. But God made man in his own image. And the Bible said that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. And man became what? A living soul. Amen. There is a part of man's own trinity, a body and soul and spirit that will live forever. Amen. They may take your body and bury it in a graveyard. But there's still an everlasting living part of you that will never perish. And I'm saying to you tonight, if that part of you is not saved by the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ, it will forever perish, my friend, in a place called hell that God never intended for you to go. Amen. I'll tell you today, beloved, the Bible said it's not God's will that you perish. And just stop and think, what has God done to prevent that? What has God done to prevent that? There's a parable in the Bible that talks about a husbandman who sent a servant down to inspect what his workers were doing. And they grabbed that servant and they beat him up and they treated him spitefully. And then he sent another and they did the same thing. And he sent another and they did the same thing. And the Bible said that last of all, he sent unto them his son. And you know what they did? They've done the same thing to Christ even going so far as to nail him to a cross. Amen. But I want to tell you something. I know a lot of people say, you Christians are bloodthirsty. You Christians are slaughterhouse people. I'll plead guilty to that. Because you see, I believe that there's a very intrinsic beauty to the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that tonight, beloved, as I survey the wondrous cross upon which my Savior died, I know that there in the throes of his agony, looking down the corridor of time as only he could do, and see a man named Dennis Estes be born without God, and then see him, brother, several years later, accept him. Brother, I think that's a beautiful thing to behold. Amen. Oh, tonight I want to tell you, folks, brother, don't go out of here grieved tonight. No, because, folks, God made a way for you to be saved. Somebody said that God, you know, they like to picture God in a negative way. They like to picture God as some old man with a long beard and a sickle in his hand or a lightning bolt in his hand, ready to thrust it into the heart of the earth and destroy all of mankind. There'll come a day when God's judgment will fall. But folks, let me say to you, brother, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, that was already God's judgment call. God judged our sins on that cross. And if you will accept him tonight, you know, my friend, you can go out of here tonight being justified by faith. You can go out of here tonight being happy in your heart. You can go out of here tonight being relieved that you will not perish. But go away grieved tonight, and you'll go over top of the will of God. You go out here grieved tonight, beloved. Let me say this to you. You're going to go with no assurance that God is ever going to call you again. This coming Saturday, I have to preach the funeral of a young man who died of a gunshot wound. They don't know if he killed himself or if somebody murdered him. It's going to be a sad affair. And I say that to you to tell you this. You don't know, my friend, the moment you're going to be called out of this life. You don't know the moment that God's going to say it's enough for you. You don't know, beloved, when God may visit you in your bedroom tonight in the wee morning hours as you sleep and repose, beloved. You don't know, but what God will say, that tonight is the night of your home going. How wonderful it is, beloved, to have, brother, your sins under the blood. Amen. And to know, brother, if God calls tonight, you know you're going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll tell you, folks, tonight, I ain't forgotten much. I don't boast about being much. But, friend, I'm saved tonight. And when I lay down on my pillow, if God allows me to get there tonight, Pastor, I know this. Brother, if God comes tonight and said it's time for him to go, I'm glad my preparation has been made. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, beloved, that there'll come a time when God may not speak to your heart again. My spirit, he said, will not always strive with man. God's spirit, my friend, has a stopping place. You may disagree with me, but you see, I believe on this side of the cross that the unpardonable sin is when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and beckons you to come and come to be saved. And he keeps speaking and he's speaking and he's speaking. And you keep saying no and no and no until you insult him and drive him away from you. And then, beloved, then I think you've committed the unpardonable sin. Folks, there, listen, God said I'm not always going to strive. I don't know about these other preachers, but I've seen people. Brother, at one time God bothered them, and they got under conviction, and the tears would flow. But you know what happened to them? Folks, they did not beckon to God's call. And I've seen those same people, brother, get cold and indifferent about salvation. And brother, you couldn't touch them for nothing. I'll say to you tonight, brother, you can go out of here grieved tonight. But if you do, listen to me. I believe while you're in this service, God has spoken to your heart. But you go out that door tonight where there's no choir singing and no quartet singing and nobody praying, nobody testifying, nobody preaching. It's a different environment entirely. And I'll tell you, brother, the devil knows how to get your mind off of your own plight. Amen. Brother, the Bible said, brother, God said, my spirit will not always strive with me. You can go out of here grieved tonight, beloved, and know this. You're going to go over top of the love of God. Has anybody here ever known what love is? I have, amen. Brother, you don't have to be so quiet. It's me, amen. And you know me well enough now, you can holler a little bit or whatever. Brother, isn't it good tonight to know the love of God? Amen. I like to sing an old song, O love of God, how rich and pure, how marvelous and strong. I well remember when I was dating my wife, and I know there's some people maybe sitting here and I said, they wish they didn't remember that, but I do remember that, amen. And I'm glad that I can remember that. Brother, I remember I got to dating my wife and you know, going to see her more often and more often, and I'll be honest, I fell in love. I think you ought to fall in love before you get married. Say amen right there. Amen. And you know, brother, I fell in love with her. But you know, I wanted to tell her. Now, I'm not brave like some of you guys are, and I wanted to tell her I loved her, but I was afraid to. And then one night, I got my courage up, and brother, I just told her, I said, Diane, I love you. And you know what? Surprised me to death. She said, I love you too. Amen. And I'll tell you the truth. I really was surprised, amen. But I'll tell you, brother, I'll tell you what, I have a wife, praise God, and our love has grown together through the years, amen. And I don't think there's anything better than that, unless it, my friend, it's one thing. It's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, this wondrous love, this heavenly love, this divine love that can look at a man's fault and better see beyond that and see his need, and yet for all of our badness and all of our filth and all of our degradation, God said, I sent my Son to die for them because I love them. Amen. You'll never find anywhere it says the devil loves you. No, sir. But God loves you tonight. God loves the sinner. You know, John Rice used to preach a message that said this, that he's a sinner, he's a savior for nobody but sinners. That's me and that's you, amen. And brother, he saved me because he loves me. Amen. How wonderful it is to be loved. Oh, I've got a daughter now, she's 30 years old. She's the prettiest thing you ever seen because she looks a lot like me. Amen. She's a wonderful girl. She really is. But you know what? As we brought her up, we would always tell her, Charity, we love you. And you know what? She would look at us and she'd say, I love you, Daddy. I love you, Mommy. I want to tell you what. If there's one thing wrong in your home tonight, it might be that you don't tell each other enough that you love each other. Amen. That little girl over the years never has failed to tell us that she loves us. Amen. I've been into homes where the kids hated their moms and dads and they despised them. I've been in homes where dad hated the wife and the wife hated the husband. No love there. That's an awful way to live. Amen. But I want to tell you something. You can't live without love. Brother, you'll have an awful life. Brother, you'll have a ruined life. You'll be a psychotic before long if nobody loves you. Amen. But oh, listen to me tonight. Somebody said, nobody loves me. One time, my boss, and Harold knows him, Dwayne O'Dell, big old tall feller, almost as tall as Tim Cunningham. And you know, Dwayne's a big man. But Dwayne was not always a Christian. Now, I remember one night we were having a producer's meeting somewhere, and brother, God gave me an opportunity to talk to him, to tell him about the Lord, how God loved him. And he's this much taller than me, and he looked down at me, and he said, "Nobody loves me." I said, "Yes, sir, there's somebody loves you." Amen. He didn't get saved that night, but it wasn't long after that. He went somewhere to church and got saved. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, God's love is greater than man's love. Amen. Greater love hath no man than this, but that a man would lay down his life for his friend. Aren't you glad tonight, Christian, that God loves you? Aren't you glad tonight that when you went to an altar of prayer and accepted him as your Savior, brother, he didn't only save your soul, but he filled you with his great love. Amen. Oh, it's wonderful tonight to be loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can go out here tonight being grieved, and you'll never know that love. You can go out of here tonight being grieved, but if you do, you're going to have to go over top of somebody who prayed for you. I know a lot of things I say them over and over, but after I got saved, I had no idea who all had been praying for me. But I was walking down the street in Raynell one afternoon, and I met this big old, seemed like the men that mean the most to me in my life are tall guys, amen. But this fella's a great big tall fella, and his name was Harry Zickafoos. He was a wonderful man of God, a preacher. And I met him on the street that day and was talking to him. And he said, "Denny," he said, "I heard the good news that you got saved." And then he said, "I've been praying for you." I want to tell you what, that meant more to me than anything you could imagine. Amen. And I well remember over the years others who spoke my name in prayer. If you want to do a favor for me, you pray for me. If you want to do a favor for somebody tonight who's lost without God, you pray for them, will you? Oh, tonight, beloved, you've been on your knees perhaps with a broken heart, and brother, begin to cry out to God to save your children, to save your spouse, to save that special friend, and ask God to save them. I want to tell you what, mister, there's nothing sweeter to me than to get on my knees and talk to God about somebody I know that needs to be saved and say, "God, save them. Save them, God. Save them before it's too late." And then, brother, one day, maybe in a church service or a telephone call or whatever, they're going to step and tell you, "Hey, I got saved." Amen. I never will forget back in 1999 when the Y2K scare was going on and everybody was just going nuts that the computer was going to blow up and the world was coming to an end, amen, if the computer blew up. And you know, they were scared to death about that. I'm glad I didn't have a computer, because I wasn't scared. Amen. That's right. I might have been the only guy left on the world if that thing had really happened, amen. But let me tell you something, I never will forget this. There was a man I'd been going to and witnessing to and talking to about getting saved. I'd go to his house, and he was a kind of a roughneck in some ways, but I'd go to his house, and he treated me like a king. And he said, "You come back, preacher, anytime you want to come." And I'd talk to him about the Lord. I'd say, "Won't you want to get saved?" "Not now, preacher, but you come back anytime you want to. You come back anytime you want to." And I kept going back to his house and talking to him about getting saved. And I never could get him to make a move. On the first day of January, the year 2000, at 7 a.m. in the morning, my telephone rang. His wife was on the other end of it, and she said, "He wants to talk to you." I grabbed the telephone, and he always called me Bub. He didn't call me preacher. He said, "How you, Bub?" And I said, "I'm all right. How you doing?" He said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "I've been up all night." He said, "I've been up all night." And he said, he wouldn't let me sleep. And he said, "Little while ago, I realized what I need to do." And he said, "I bowed down and I accepted him into my heart." Amen. Praise God. Now take your old Y2K. Amen. Let me tell you something, brother. I would rather have heard about that man getting saved than about every computer being all right in the world. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, beloved, there's nothing, brother, that can exceed the power of prayer. Amen. It reaches where your hand cannot go. Prayer reaches where your feet cannot trod. Prayer, my friend, brother, goes where even your mind cannot fathom. But prayer reaches in the deepest inner recesses of a man's black, sin-darkened heart. And God says, "I can save that man." Amen. Praise God forever. I don't know the depths of sin that some people, even in this room tonight, may have gotten into in their life. But somebody prayed, and somebody cared, and somebody cried, and then Jesus saved them. Amen. Brother, if you better grieve tonight, you'll go over somebody's praying. If you leave this room tonight and be grieved in your heart, you got to go over that cross. You've got to go over that cross. If there's one thing tonight that stands between humanity and divinity, it's the cross of Jesus Christ. People wear it in their ears. People wear it around their neck. People have it, emblazoned on their Bible cover. You see cars go down the road with a symbol of a cross upon it. The cross has made a mighty impact. Amen. But the sad thing about it is, it's more than a piece of jewelry. And it's more than a painting. It's more than a picture. It's more than a bumper sticker. The cross was God's means by way he could reconcile lost sinners unto himself. Amen. If tonight you would be saved, it's by the cross of Jesus Christ. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. Brother, you're not going to get to heaven any other way than by the blood and the cross of Jesus Christ. Boy, I like that old song, at the cross, where I first saw the light. Do you remember, Christian, when you first got saved? How many of you remember when you first got saved? You ought to let your face show that. You know that? Amen. I'll tell you the truth. Some of you sitting here wishing, looking like the cross that hit you in the head, rather than got in your heart. Amen. I tell you tonight, brother, that cross is precious to you tonight. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, mister, how can you ever get over what Christ did on the cross? Amen. How is it, my friend, that here is God in flesh? My friend, listen to me. When he walked the shores of this life and he hungered, he was man. Very man, but friend, when he was on the cross that day, brother, and God his Father had turned his own face from his Son, he was God incarnate, my friend, dying for the sin of me and for you, and saying, by this you can be saved, amen. By the cross of Jesus, amen. Glory to God, beloved. I want to tell you tonight, friend, brother, there's a cross that points in four different directions. The height and the depth and the breadth are all encompassing by the cross. And yet, my friend, it points itself at you and says, this is the only way you can be saved. If you were to leave your night being grieved, then, beloved, you'll have to go over his blood. You'll have to go over his blood. I never will forget when I was working for the Department of Agriculture. They had us cattle graders for a time working with the animal health people, and we had to help bleed cows. Back in that time, we tested the cows for Bang's disease, undulant fever. And we would go collect the blood samples from them old cows, take it back into the vet office at the stockyards, and put the test tubes down inside of those centrifuges and spin it down, separating the plasma. And then they'd box it up and send it into the lab in Charleston. But every now and then, one of those test tubes would bust down inside that centrifuge. And that blood would spoil. And it made an awful stench, brother, inside that old centrifuge. That was that blood. But I want to tell you something tonight. There is one blood that has never spoiled. There is one blood that is as fresh tonight as it's ever been. There is one blood tonight, beloved, whose power and efficacy to save is as great tonight as it was the day that they put the pierced crown of thorns on his head. And that blood can save you. That blood can reconcile you. That blood can make you brand new. That blood today can make you happy. That blood today, my friend, can put a song in your heart and in your soul. That blood, my friend, that he shed can take you all the way from this sin-cursed earth all the way to the glories of heaven. Amen. You can't beat a deal like that, can you? No, sir. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, if you're going to grieve tonight, you have to go over his blood. You have to tread upon it. Amen. And put him to an open shame. And I want to tell you tonight, beloved, if there's one thing tonight that he desires to do above all things, and everybody talks about he's got power to do this and power to do that. I know he's got all power in heaven and in earth. But the one thing I believe that Christ desires to do tonight for you personally and individually above all things, he desires to save you. He desires to wash you in that blood. Amen. Boy, that's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. I went by Miss Leda's today. She's losing ground and getting weaker. I went over to her bedside and took her by the hand. She raised them little old bony arms like that, and her hands are shaking, and she said, "Ooh," she said, "I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait." Wait for what, preacher? She's waiting for the call to go home that the blood made possible. That's what she's waiting on. I want to tell you tonight, folks, listen, there's nothing more precious tonight than the blood applied to your sins. Amen. But you've got to hear grieve tonight. You'll have to go over that. But he doesn't want you to go over that. He wants you to stop. He wants you to kneel. He wants you to confess and repent. He wants that blood to wash you. I'm hurrying now, but two more points and I'll quit. Go out here not being grieved. And you take the chance of your old heart being harder than it was when it came. And then it gets harder to win you. And it gets harder to convince you. Pastor, you've never seen a generation in your life that's as hard to convince about Christ as this one we're living in tonight. Why is that? Because, folks, the devil has substituted so many things and taken man's mind away from the things of God. But there are many that have heard the gospel. Don't you know that America is supporting better than 80% of all missionary work in the world? And yet we may well be one of the hardest nations to reach for Christ that there is in the world. And folks, we have more Bibles, more printed page, more advertising, more programming on television and radio besides the computer and all that kind of a thing. And yet we're not reaching them. It's not that some aren't trying. It's just that they're not reaching back. And I want to tell you tonight, beloved, if God's troubling your heart, if God's speaking to your heart about getting saved, and you go out that door being grieved tonight, you may be impossible to reach again. Your heart made all the harder. One last thing and we'll quit. You go out of here tonight, you listen to me. You go out of here tonight being grieved, and you're going to go over what you know your heart's desire really is. Man knows that he's empty without God. There's a void in your life that only Christ can fill. Why is it that people are taking their own lives tonight, trying because their life has been unfulfilled and nothing could satisfy, nothing could make them happy? Why does a man tonight stand on the edge of a bridge and look down at the watery grave and think to himself, "I'm useless, I'm no good"? I'll tell you why. Because he's void. Because in his life there's an emptiness that needs to be filled up. Say what you will tonight, beloved, there's only one thing can fill you up tonight. And that's Jesus Christ. You can go out here being grieved if you want to, but you'll never change the way he thinks about you. You'll never think about the fact that he died for you. You'll never change the fact, beloved, that God, brother, gave his only begotten son to die in your place. You can go out here and live your life in riotousness and wantonness. You can live your life, my friend, in licentiousness and be the greatest sinner the world ever seen. But you'll never change God's mind about you. And God wants to save you. What in the world have you got tonight? What would you give tonight in exchange for your soul? You people are vying for all the riches of this world, when the greatest happiness tonight is but a simple prayer away. Why don't you come to Christ tonight? If you're here and you're not saved, why don't you be the first at this altar tonight? If you're here and you're not saved, don't you worry about what anybody else thinks. You worry about your soul's need tonight. You get to this altar just as fast as you can. Come to Christ. Don't leave being grieved. Don't leave being grieved. Our Father, I bow before the throne of grace tonight, O God. I thank you for this privilege of once again looking into your precious book and sharing some things that we believe you laid upon our heart. I cannot know anybody's heart. Even people I've known for many years, I don't know their heart. But Father, tonight somebody may be in here and right on the edge of their seat, and they're waiting for the last song to be sung and the benediction given so that they can walk out that door being grieved. Father, tonight I'm begging you, don't let anybody leave tonight being grieved. Don't let anybody leave this room unless they know absolutely for certain that all is well between them and their God. Father, tonight it's senseless and pointless for people to be lost. Not when the riches of Christ await us. Not when the great love of God is upon us. Not when the justice of God has been satisfied through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father, tonight we live in a lost and dying world. Too many are perishing. And Father, I would like to ask you, if there's anybody here and they're not saved, don't let them be in that number. But God, tonight I pray you'll deal with them and convict them and convince them of how much they desperately need Jesus. If I could tonight, Father, I'd go out. If I could identify them, and I'd put my arms around them and do everything I could to get them to the altar. But Father, they must come in their own free will. Please touch somebody's soul tonight, Father, I pray. Touch him, God, I beg you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand with us. Turn to page 35.
The Savior is waiting. Receive him and all of
Page 110. We'll sing one. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
I wonder, would every head be bowed and every eye closed, if you would, please? And I would like for everybody in this room who knows absolutely for sure that you're saved, could you just lift your hand tonight? I know, and there's no doubt about it. I know that I'm saved. If you're here tonight and you can't lift your hand, my friend, listen, you don't need to leave that way tonight. The Lord loves you, and He's done all that is required to save you. You don't have to go to a cross tonight. You don't have to be beaten as He was. They're not going to put a crown of thorns on your head. But all you need to do tonight to be saved is to come and by faith receive this one who died for your sin. Wouldn't you come tonight? Wouldn't you come tonight and accept Christ as your Savior? Wouldn't you come right now while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and Christians are praying? Wouldn't you come right now? Take that short walk down the aisle to this altar tonight and let Christ meet you there and save you. Would you come tonight? Wouldn't you come? God's dealing with somebody, I believe, and why don't you come this evening? Don't go away being grieved tonight, but come to Christ. I beg you. I beg you. Go ahead, brother, if you want. Amen.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Saints and angels.